Morning. Today's daf is Yud Zayin in Chulin. We're a little bit behind on Tet Zayin Amud Beis. Got a lot to do today, so let's get underway. Okay, we were discussing yesterday the topic of Mechubal HaKarka, something that's connected to the ground. Shechita cannot be with something that's Mechubal HaKarka, although it is subject to a debate between Rabbi and Rabbi Chiyo. But Rabbi is very clear that something is Mechubal HaKarka, it's connected to the ground, so that's possible, it's going to be disqualified. So the discussion the Gemara took it to yesterday was, what if it's something that was connected to the ground, then you detach and then you reattach it to the ground? Is that going to be considered something which is connected to the ground? So the Gemara went global. The Gemara says that in other areas of halacha, like in the halachas of Avodah Zarah, I bow down to a house, my own house, right? And I treat my house like a deity. So at that point in time, is it my house going to be considered aser? Is it a chefzer shel Avodah Zarah? So the Gemara there says unequivocally, yes, absolutely. Even though it was disconnected from the ground, but reattached to the ground, so it's going to have a din of something which is disconnected from the ground. We know land itself cannot become Avodah Zarah, but the house is considered something which is disconnected. Okay, in the world of Machshirin, we made a similar point as well, although that's debatable. In other words, how to learn that Mishnah Machshirin. The Gemara had two approaches to how to learn that Mishnah. According to one approach, that's Gufa Machlokas in Machshirin, whether or not something that's disconnected but reattached to the ground is considered part of the ground. Okay? And then we go back to the world of Shechita, meaning let's say I have something that's disconnected from the ground and I reattach to the ground, and I shecht with that item. So the Gemara says that's... that the Gemara says is we're unclear about. Rabba yesterday... Rava. Rava yesterday asked this question, and Rava really comes to no resolution. Even though we learned that you can stick a knife in the wall and shecht against that knife, but that's not something that's reattached to the ground. It's basically, it's the Gemara's Lashon, it doesn't become bottled to the wall. We're basically asking the knife, we're asking the wall to hold the knife, but it's not reattaching it to the ground. Okay, we discussed yesterday also, animal being on top versus animal being on the bottom. Meaning when I shech, the animal should be on the bottom and the knife should be on the top so that I'm always in control and I know that the knife is working its way through the neck of the animal. If we flipped it, if the animal were on top, so when I start cutting the animal, the weight of the animal will just simply collapse on the knife, and then you're going to have a problem with hadrasa. Okay, so that's all the things that we discussed yesterday. Okay, we move on. We're in the middle of Tet Zayin Amud Beis, and we are starting from Amar of Anan. Okay, Amar of Anan. It's less than halfway down the page. It's about a quarter down the page, right? The Gemara says Amar of Anan, Amar Shmuel, Lo Shana Olav Shah Sakan Lamala V'Tzaver Behem Lamata, Sakan Lamata V'Tzaver Behem Lamala, Chayshin and Shema Yidro. So he quotes in the name of Shmuel that you can't have the neck of the animal on top. Knife on the bottom, neck on the animal on top, that you can't have for the reason that we just laid down. Because as you cut the animal's now going to lose life. The animal's own body weight is going to collapse on the knife, and that's no good. Shema Yidros. The Gemara points out, but wait a second, didn't the Brisa say that either way is okay? So I'm Rav Zvid, let's start in Katani. So Rav Zvid says we're going to take the Brisa and we're going to divide the Brisa into two segments. So when the Brisa says that the knife can be on top, so that's when the knife is connected. It's attached. When the knife is on the bottom, that's only going to be okay if you're holding in your hand. That way you have control over the knife. That's one way to understand the Brisa. Rav Papa Amar Be'ufa Dekalo. Rav Papa says, no, I'll give you another way to understand the Brisa. A simple way to understand the Brisa. When the Brisa says that the knife could be on the bottom and the animal could be on the top, we're not talking about a large animal. We're talking about a bird. A bird which doesn't weigh that much. We're not worried about the weight of the body of the bird dropping down on the knife, and that's when it would be okay to have the knife on the bottom and the animal on top when that animal is a bird. Now, we talked yesterday about shechting with all different types of items. Stone, glass, a reed. The Gemara says when we're talking about a reed, you got to be careful. There are a lot of splinters in a reed. Okay, you don't want to shecht with it. So ain't shochtim ba. So number one, you cannot shecht with a reed because of the splinters. And what's going to happen, and Rashi explains, is that you're going to shecht with it, and the splinter, one of the splinters, is basically going to pierce the windpipe or the esophagus prior to the conclusion of shechita. And that obviously is no good. You made a nekev now in the animal before you shechted it. And that obviously is no good. Ain malin ba, you cannot do circumcision with it. Okay, for obvious reasons. Meaning if we're worried about splintering off, so you cut with an instrument that splinters off, okay, that's not good. Eim echatchen ba'baster, don't even cut meat with it. Okay, ve'ein mechatzen ba'shinayim, don't use it as a toothpick. Ve'ein mekanchen ba. So, and you can't wipe yourself with it. The Gemara right now is assuming that we're talking about bathroom. Meaning after having gone to the bathroom, don't wipe yourself with it. And I guess this would be obvious in terms of why that would be an issue. So the Gemara goes step by step. Let's go through all five statements made. Number one, we said you can't check with it. So the Gemara points out, first of all, our Mishnah says you can. Our Mishnah says you can. So what do you mean you can't? So the Rav Papa says it depends on what type of reed we're talking about. If it's one that grows in a swamp, right, Rashi says, Esav hagadol be'agmei mayim be'karei lishka, u'kishu yavesh chadud ve'chotech ve'en kismim nivdalim himenu. Swamp reeds, like I know what I'm talking about. I don't. It doesn't matter. Swamp reeds is something that doesn't splinter off, so that's okay. That's what the Mishnah is describing. But what the Gemara is describing is this is Rav Chista, this is Rav Yitzchak, or it's a Braitza. Whatever the Gemara is describing now is something that splinters off. Okay, good. Okay, now you can't cut meat with it. Now what's the problem? Problem is as follows. You cut meat with this reed, so it splinters off. So now as you eat a piece of this meat, you're going to be eating a splinter, and God forbid, you're going to choke. Okay, so it's a health issue. So Rav Papa mechatech bal kiradagim deziki. So Rav Papa, so he would cut fish insides, fish innards, with a reed, and his justification was it's very clear, meaning if in fact a splinter goes off, I'll be able to see it. Ziki means it's very clear. Rabba Baravuna mechatech ba ufa derachech ve'eim derachech, and Rabba Baravuna, he would cut up a bird, because the meat of the bird is very soft, and so therefore he wasn't worried about the reed splintering off. Okay. Eim mekanchin ba. You cannot wipe yourself with such a reed because it splinters, and I don't think I need to finish the sentence. So, teipuklei mishum da'amamah, mekanech b'davar shahor shalatas bo, shinav noshro. So the Gemara says that you're not allowed to wipe yourself after having gone to the bathroom with something which is flammable. Now, you should all be thinking in this room, wait a second, we all do, right? Toilet paper is flammable. Okay, hold, I'll get back to that in just a moment. Okay? In the meantime, however, the Gemara says, you cannot do that, sheen of nostrils. Now, literally the words translate, your teeth will fall out. So we're not talking about your mouth, we're talking about the other end. And so we must be talking about some sort of GI issue that would occur if you wipe yourself with something which is flammable. I don't have a medical explanation, okay? But maybe somebody here does. Whatever the case is, you can't wipe yourself, says the Gemara, with something which is flammable. So the Gemara says reeds are flammable. So before you get onto the discussion of splintering, meaning, and that is an issue, don't get me wrong. But even before that, the mere fact is that it's flammable, and that already is prohibited. You're right. Wiping your end with something flammable, that's prohibited, period. So we don't even have to get onto the discussion of splintering. But we're not talking about that, we're talking about an open wound. Meaning, I want to wipe an open wound, so don't wipe it with a reed because of splintering issues. There's no discussion of flammable versus non-flammable. So the Gemara says the only issue is splintering. Okay, good. In the good old days, you know how they used to wipe themselves? The correct answer is with rocks. Okay. One of the reasons we need to thank ourselves that we live in the 20th/21st century is, we're a little more updated. However, it's still, the Gemara is very clear that you're not allowed to wipe yourself with things which are flammable. And the minhag ha'olam is to wipe with toilet paper. How does that work? So the only thing I could tell you, there's an Aruch HaShulchan that discusses this. Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Yechiel Epstein of the 19th century, end of the 19th century, so he discusses this, and he says, we seem to be in flagrant violation of the Gemara. The Gemara says that you're not allowed to wipe yourself with something which is flammable, and the Aruch HaShulchan's response, it's not going to be heartwarming, but he says, Shomer Pisayim Hashem, God watches over fools. Meaning, yeah, we are foolish in our conduct, we do violate the Gemara by wiping ourselves with something which is flammable, but he says, we do it and it's foolish, and okay, Shomer Pisayim Hashem. I know that's not, you know, that's not an exciting way to end the discussion, but that's the, if I remember correctly, that's the Aruch HaShulchan's response. Yeah, not to use a root, not to use, okay, yeah, not to use a leaf. Anyway, Hakol Shochtin, La'olam Shochtin. Hakol Shochtin, Hakol, okay, good. All right. We're now back to the world of Shechita. And I mean, we've been there for a while now. We just digressed for a moment discussing bathroom habits and proper hygiene. But now we're back to the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah makes three statements back to back to back. Okay, I'm of course referencing the Home Run Derby from Monday night. Look at that, one of my Yankees won. So, the Mishnah made three statements back to back to back. So the Mishnah says, right, we are going back to the Mishnah on Tezvav Amid Beis, and the Mishnah says that Hakol Shochtin, La'olam Shochtin, Ubakol Shochtin. Extremely, extremely vague, ambiguous reference of the Mishnah. What do all three of these statements mean? So the Gemara starts off with the following: Hakol Shochtin, Hakol B'Shechita. Now, here I'm gonna foreshadow a little bit of what's coming up later this morning. Meaning, what are we talking about right now? We're talking about the person shechting. We're on Daf Tet Zayin in Chulin. We've spent the first 15, 16 blot of Gemara discussing who can shecht, right? So in other words, the Gemara is assuming right now we're done with that topic. The Kusi, the Tamei, the Mumar, right? We're finished. We're moving on to a new topic. It's got to be. So right now we're going to assume that this discussion no longer is going on the Shochet, but on the Nishchat. Right? We're going to assume right now that we're talking about the item that you're shechting. The animal that you're shechting. Okay? So we're going to start off like this. The Hakol Shochtin is Hakol B'Shechita V'Afil Abov. Everything requires Shechita, even birds. Okay? Not fish. Fish don't require Shechita. Okay, we'll talk about that later in the Masechta. Fish, grasshoppers do not require Shechita, birds do require Shechita. Although it is somewhat controversial, and we'll discuss differences between shechting a bird versus shechting an animal. If I can get to it, we'll discuss it even later this morning. But when it comes to birds, birds require Shechita. Okay, that's what the Mishnah means when it says Hakol Shochtin. Okay. Now, La'olam Shochtin, and you always shecht. What does that mean? You always shecht. So the Gemara says, Mantana, who's the author of this Mishnah that has to make it clear to us that you always shecht? Meaning, historically, Shechita is always in play. Who's that? So Amar Rabba Rabbi Yishmael. So the Gemara says our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, a little bit of an introduction. The Gemara now is going to get into, and it's going to spend an entire Amud discussing a basic machlokus between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. We know that if we want to eat meat, so we have permission, we have license to eat meat, right? Every single one of us can go into our local kosher market and purchase meat and get it, and we don't even have to bring it as a carbon. Look at us. We can go to the store, purchase meat, and buy meat, and get it. As we're going to see, machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, that may not have always been true. Meaning, at least according to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that if you wanted to eat meat before we entered into Eretz Yisrael, you can't. No, you're not allowed to. Meat is special. The only way you'd be allowed to eat meat, according to Rabbi Shmuel, prior to our entrance into Eretz Yisrael, is by bringing it as a carbon. That's the only way to do it. Once we went into Eretz Yisrael, now something amazing happened, which is license to eat meat. Meat that's not a carbon. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Good. That opinion is exciting. Rabbi Akiva's opinion perhaps is even more exciting. Rabbi Akiva says, yeah, you're right, there's a difference between before going to Eretz Yisrael and after going to Eretz Yisrael, but you're not right, says Rabbi Akiva. That's not the difference. I'll tell you what the difference is, says Rabbi Akiva. The difference is that before going to Eretz Yisrael, you didn't even need to shecht. Just kill the animal. You have the right to eat meat, says Rabbi Akiva, but you just kill the animal. Now, the Gemara is going to keep calling it, and get used to this terminology, we'll say it a lot this morning, basar nechira. Nechira, the word nocher, means nostrils. Now, Rashi describes later on Daf Yud Zayin, that nechira means that you're going to take the knife, pierce it into the nose of the animal, and make a, doctors help me over here,
longitudinal
cut from the nose all the way down to the throat. Okay, is the Gemara speaking in terms of that's the way you have to do it? Or is the Gemara just describing a way that they used to kill their animal had the Torah not given the mitzvah of Shechita? I'm not sure, I'm not clear. But anyway, this is what's called Nechira, Basar Nechira. Rabbi Akiva says the following, that before we went into Eretz Yisrael, just kill an animal and eat it. You didn't need to shecht it.
You had the right after Noah.
After Noach, we had the right to eat meat in general, but in Bnei Yisrael, when they were going through the desert, they didn't need to shecht an animal. Nechir is all you needed to do. And the laws of Nevela, so the Gemara later on will propose that, yeah, it sounds that way from the Gemara later on, that according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not Nevela. It does sound like, now that I'm thinking about it more, it does sound like Nechira has to be the way it's done. Okay. I'll show you later on. We quote the Mishnah from Kisui Adam. It sounds like Nechira doesn't become a Nevela. Okay. So anyway, so this is a basic machlokas between Rabbi Kim and Rabbi Shmuel. So again, there is one point of agreement. Something changes from before we go into Eretz Yisrael until after we go into Eretz Yisrael. What exactly that change is, subject to a basic machlokas between the two. So now the Gemara says, let's go step by step. I'm a rabbi. Rabbi Shmuel, he did tanya ki yarchiv Hashem lakechetz gevucha kasher dibar lach v'amata och la basar. Rabbi Shmuel, omer lo ba'akasav ala lahat yolahem basar taiva. Okay, Rabbi Shmuel says that when we go into Eretz Yisrael, we now have license to eat meat. Prior to going into Eretz Yisrael, we were not allowed to eat meat. And that's not, what I just said is not 100% accurate. You could eat meat even before going into Eretz Yisrael, but only if you bring it as a karban. Otherwise, you do not have the right to eat meat. That is Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Okay, so before going into Eretz Yisrael, we could not eat basar tava. You couldn't go to your local butcher and pick a meat even if it was shechted. After going into Eretz Yisrael, basar taiva is allowed. Now, the achshav shegalu, now that we're back in exile, yachol yichzeru li'isiran harishon. So as a havamina, I might have thought, no more basar taiva. You can't eat meat anymore. L'kach shaninu la'olam shochtin. And now that's the pshat in our Mishnah, la'olam shochtin. In order to negate that thought process, so that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell us, that you might have thought that with no Eretz Yisrael and no Beis HaMikdash, you can't eat Basa Taiva anymore, and we revert back to our desert status. That's not true. You're allowed to eat Basa Taiva. So the Gemara says, if you think this through, you'll realize the logic over here seems to be just the opposite. Maskehla Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, I don't understand. Hai la'olam shochtem, la'olam shochtem, va'ochlem yibayle. Question number one, says Rav Yosef. The Mishnah, if that's what the Mishnah is trying to teach us, the Mishnah is missing the most important word, which is shochtem va'ochlem. Right? In other words, what we're trying to say over here is that you're allowed to eat meat. It's not a question about shechita. It's a question about eating meat. So why doesn't the Mishnah make the more important or the more critical point, which is not that you're allowed to shecht, but you're allowed to shecht and you're allowed to eat it? That's question number one, says Rav Yosef. Question number two, va'od. Mikar ma'itam itzam misham da'ave mekar v'lemishkan. Think this through. According to Rabbi Shmuel, why is it that we're not allowed to eat meat in the desert and you're only allowed to eat it if you bring it as a karban? The answer is very simple. Everyone was within proximity of the Mishkan. Right. Meaning, good. Remember, Mishkan's in the center. B'nai Yisrael, even though there were 2 million of us, were encamped around the Mishkan. Anybody could walk. It's not that far. It's a little bit of, you know, if you're all the way on the exterior, it's a little bit of a schlep. But everyone can walk to the Mishkan and offer a karban, a neder, or nedava at the Mishkan. Now that we go into Eretz Yisrael, okay, now we have more territory. Right? We have more real estate. So ulavasof, my time ishtar to have a mechakim in Mishkan. So the heter to eat meat is just a logistic issue of we are way too far away from the base of Mikdash. Shalosh regalim will go up 3 times a year, but year round. You really expect us to bring a carbon in order for us to eat meat? We're so far away. So now, if that's the thought process, if that's the logic, so now imagine, we live in America, in Florida. So, right? It's a 10-hour flight to Eretz Yisrael. More from here. Right, we have to. Right, we lost our direct flights. So for us, you can't. Right, I would imagine now that if the thought process is the further you are away, the more there is a heter to eat meat. So over here, the kol shekin hashta deir chukulu tfei. So we're further away. So for sure we'd be allowed to eat meat. So even just in terms of logic and in thought process, how would I have thought that basar taiva is no longer allowed after the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed? Elam Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef says, so I'm going to do the following. We're going to go back to the Mishnah. We're going to go back to the words of Olam Shochtin, and I'm going to give a totally different pshat. And now I'm going to give a pshat, not based on Rabbi Shmuel, but based on his Bar Plukta, based on who he argues with, which is Rabbi Akiva. Elam Rav Yosef, Rabbi Akiva, Yiditani, Ki Yirchak Mimcha, Makam Asheri V'cha, Hashem Lekech, Hashem Shmo Sham, V'zavachta Mibikarcha Mitzoncha. So again, the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh is telling us that you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to do something amazing. You're going to shecht. And Rabbi Akiva says, you know what the Torah is telling us? That prior to us entering into Eretz Yisrael, we didn't need to shecht. Right? Rabbi Akiva Omer, lo ba'akas ve'lo lasar lahem basa nechira, shebetchil ahuto lahem basa nechira, mishenichnus el aretz nesar lahem basa nechira. Ba'achshav shegalo yachu yachzu lahatiran harishon lakach shanin ala olam shochtin. And so now, right, beautiful pshat. Meaning, I might have thought that this license to eat basar nechira is a function of us not being in Eretz Yisrael. Meaning that there's some sort of correlation, although the Gemara doesn't explain it fully, of being in Eretz Yisrael and now having to shecht. But now that we're outside of Eretz Yisrael, so I might have thought, you don't have to shecht anymore. Basar nechira, just kill the animal and you can eat the animal. Like before we entered into Eretz Yisrael, which according to Rabbi Akiva, we, Jewish people, ate basar nechira even after the Torah was given. For the 40 years that we were in the desert, basar nechira, just simply kill the animal and eat it. So I might have thought that would be true now that we're outside of Eretz Yisrael and then we're back in Galus. So that's what the Mishnah is telling us, la'olam shochtin. Okay, and now the Gemara will spend a good amount of time discussing this machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. But my kemiflagi, Rabbi Kiva sever basa taiva lo itzaklal. So Rabbi Kiva says that this idea of basa taiva, of meat that's not a carbon, an animal that's not a carbon, Torah never forbade that. That was never forbidden. We always were allowed to eat meat even before we entered into Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Shmuel sever basa nechira lo itzaklal. And Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that basa nechira, meat that was not shechted, but just killed, animal that was just killed, that never was permitted to us. And the Gemara now is going to go over arguments that support each position. So first, let's go 1 point for Rabbi Shmuel, right? Which is that in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, the Torah is talking about Shechita. Yeah. Rabbi Akiva, you hear that? Before we go, this is in Parshas Vayikra. We're shechting. According to your Rabbi Kiva, you don't need to shecht. So the Ella Rabbi Kiva, my v'shachat. So the answer for Rabbi Kiva, the defense for Rabbi Kiva would be very simple. Kachem shani. That's talking about carbon. Oh, that's different. By carbon, you need to shecht, even when we were in the desert. But you and I, we want to go and we want to eat meat. We don't need to shecht.
Couldn't you also argue that maybe nechira was one type of shechting in the desert?
Okay, good. Bishlama, hold that thought, because Gemara is going to make that point in just a moment. It's very good. Bishlama, the Rabbi Shmuel, haynu dichsev atzam ba'abakar yishachel lahem. We complained for meat, and Akash Baruch Hu said, okay, we are out in the desert, and we're complaining for meat, Hatson v'abakai shachet lehem. I'm going to give them sheep and I'm going to give them cattle so that they should shacht. Now that's not talking about carbon, that's talking about the meat eaten by the masses. And it says shechting. So El Rabbi Kiva Mayatom Bakai Shachin Lahem Yinacher Lahem Mi Bayale. According to Rabbi Kiva, shouldn't it say Yinacher? Because according to Rabbi Kiva, we didn't need to do Shechita out in the desert. Nechir is what we did. So the Gemara answers, Ben, basically what you suggested just a moment ago, Nechir Shalahem Zui Shechita San. Yeah, but don't get caught up in the terminology. The Torah says the word shecht, but back in the desert, shechting meant just simply killing the animal. It didn't mean the formal process of what we know to be shechita. Okay. Bishlama. L'Rabbi Shmuel Haina did nana shochet b'nis navla b'yado. V'anocher v'amacher patim l'chasos. We have a mitzvah of kisui hadam. We will spend the sixth perek of chul in discussing the mitzvah of kisui hadam. Kisui hadam after you shecht an animal, not a domesticated animal, but a chaya. After you shecht an animal, so you have a mitzvah of covering the blood of that animal. Kisui adam. What if the animal was not edible? Meaning, what if the shechita went awry? There's no mitzvah of kisui adam. The mitzvah of kisui adam is only when the animal comes out to be edible. So the Mishnah tells us, you shochet and the animal becomes a nevela. Or you do nechira. Right? Again, stab it in the nose and go down to the pipes. Or if you rip out the seman and part of lachasas, you don't have to do kisui adam. But listen to this question: Elo Rabbi Akiva, my part of lachasas. I'm sorry, that's the answer already. Elo Rabbi Akiva, my part of lachasas. But according to Rabbi Akiva, why would you be part from covering it? Meaning, because according to Rabbi Akiva, nechira historically was a way that we used to kill our animals and eat it. So, granted that nowadays we don't have the right to do that, but according to Rabbi Akiva, that's what we once upon a time did. So therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, maybe there should still be a mitzvah of kisui hadam. Now, this is me talking. Now, if that doesn't confuse people, I don't know what would confuse people. Meaning that we kill the animal through nechira and now we're doing kisui hadam? I mean, the masses, in my humble opinion, would all then conclude, oh, it must be that you can eat the animal. Not understanding that this is only because of a historical time. Anyway, good. So, hol the itzer. The Gemara response is, no. Even Rabbi Akiva will tell you that once we go into Eretz Yisrael, nechira is done. Meaning, it was at one point in time allowed to eat basa nechira when we were out in the desert for the 40 years, but once we go into Eretz Yisrael, done. Over.
So this mission is post facto.
And this mission obviously is going to be described the post facto status of being in Eretz Yisrael and forward. Bishlam l'Rabbi Kiva Damar Basar Taiva Lo Itzer Kla Hainu Dichtiv Ach Kasher Yechal Tzviv Esayal Ken Toch Alena. I do understand Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva says that the just like you eat Tzviva Ayal, right, the deer and the gazelle, Ken Toch Alena, so too you'll be able to eat carbon that becomes disqualified, it had a mum, it had a blemish, and I redeemed it, and you can eat it just like you can eat tzviva ayal. But meanwhile, the Torah is describing how we ate meat in the desert. And not just meat in the desert that was brought as a carbon, but even meat that was not brought as a carbon. How do I know that? Because the Torah is describing tzviva ayal. Tzviva ayal are not carbonos. Carbon is sheep, carbon is goat, carbon is cattle. Carbon is not deer and gazelle. El Rabbi Shmuel, tzviva ayal gufe mehavi share. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, you're not allowed to eat tzviva ayal out in the desert. What's the Torah describing? Ki asu rachmana behema dechazil akrava v'achai delo chazil akrava lo asu rachmana. So the Gemara in defense of Rabbi Shmuel says, no. This tzviva ayal is a whole different category. That we were allowed to eat in the desert. The basar taiva that you're not allowed to eat in the desert, that's only for the types of animals that are candidates to become a carbon. Those animals were not allowed to eat in the desert. But tzviva ayal, you're allowed to eat in the desert. Okay.
And shechita the same way?
And you would have to, I guess, according to Rabbi Yishmael, you'd have to shechta. Right. Because basar nechir was never allowed. Okay. Good. No resolution on the matter. Machlokas, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel. What happened out in the desert? Right. So it's a question of history, right? So does it have practical application to us? So So wait just one moment. Okay? By Rav Yirmiya. Every basa taiva sheichnisu yisrael imahem la'aretz mahu. So, this is great. We're asking the question according to Rabbi Akiva. Remember now that according to Rabbi Akiva, in the desert we didn't need to shecht. All you need to do is just simply kill the animal and enjoy it. Okay. Let's say, Gemara asks the following question. According to Rabbi Akiva, this is all according to Rabbi Akiva. Let's say we killed an animal out in the desert, not shechita, we didn't have to, nechira, okay, and then we made beef jerky. Right? Salted it really, really well, and now we bring it with us into Israel. Okay. Now, think this through. What a great question. Now in Eretz Yisrael, there's a new set of rules. It's called shechita. Okay. So in Eretz Yisrael now we have a mitzvah to shecht. So can I eat my old school basar nechira meat? Right? According to Rabbi Akiva. In the desert that was totally okay, but in Eretz Yisrael now we have to shecht. So but this meat was predates our going into Eretz Yisrael. Right, I've been holding this beef jerky now for some time. So can I eat it now in Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara says, first of all, let's just refine the question just for a moment. Now, first of all, I don't know if people know this. This is unbelievable. During wartime, so you can eat treif, okay?
You have bacon.
Right? Rashi over here, I didn't know bacon was an old French word. I wish Phil were here today, because he would clarify. But Rashi actually uses the word bacon. Yeah, I know that, but I'm... Huh?
In the time of war.
At time of war, right, and you're out in war, and you're fighting... So if the spoil, right, and you go into, and right, the pasuk says, "Ubatim malaim kol tov." You go into their house. Now they were preparing breakfast, and for them, of course, breakfast is eggs and bacon. So you go into the house, and you can enjoy. You can help yourself to the bacon. So the Gemara is saying now, if we're describing, if this question is applicable for the first 7 years after entrance into the land of Israel, well, what's the question? You're allowed to even eat bacon. So you're asking me about the basa nechira that we brought with us from the desert? So the Gemara says, basa nechira mi bai ela acher mikan. So okay, fine. So the Gemara says, we're talking about after the 7 years of conquest. So really, you've been holding on to this beef jerky for some time now. It's been sitting. When we were in yeshiva, we used to take with us, you know, hard salami. And just, you know, and it lasted, it does well. I got to tell you.
Part of the tribes were on one side, the other side.
I hear that. Ibai Sema, or the Gemara says, and I was thinking, it's funny, the moment the Gemara raised this question, I was thinking this as well. Ibai Sema la'olam b'sheva shekavshu ki ishtar lu shalosh of the kochavim didhu, I'm sorry, didhu lo ishtare. So the Gemara says, the whole premise of your question about the first 7 years when we were conquering, yes, it's true we're allowed to eat bacon, but that's only when we're out in the war, when we're out fighting, and we're actually in their house. But when we go back home, you're not allowed to eat bacon, right? You got to eat kosher. So it could be that this question is pertinent even for the first 7 years. Okay.
So that's the excuse some people say, food's low, it's when we're in war.
you can come up with a number of justifications. They don't work.
World War I, I think the Chafetz Chaim was in this probably
guys. Oh yeah?
It's
a legitimate heter during war. So take us to the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Now you'll note that the Gemara is asking really a historical question. Meaning, I don't imagine that anyone nowadays, you know, 3,000 years after we have left Egypt, has any of the basa nechira that once upon a time was once was. Rashi writes. Rashi is after lines turn wide. Rashi writes about 8 lines down. Drosh v'kabos charhu shetsruchim anu la'amod ala emes v'alfa pishekvar avar. Right, this segment of the Gemara that we just learned, drosh v'kabos char. Right, you'll learn it. you'll get credit for learning this, even though Masha Hayakvar. This is a historical discussion, right? Well, this has no relevance to our lives, meaning, who do we go like Rabbi Akiva? Do we go like Rabbi Shmuel? And even if we go like Rabbi Akiva, and they brought Basa Nechira in with them from the desert, are they allowed to eat it? Are they not allowed to eat it? So for us, it is inconsequential. We don't have any Basa Nechira from that time. So Rashi says it's just a function of Drosh Ukabel Schar. You'll learn it and you'll be Mekabel Schar. So I will point you in the direction, we're not going to do it now, time consideration. I will point you in the direction of the Rush. Take a look at the Rush in the back of the Gemara, where the Rush takes serious exception to this Rashi, and he says it is a practical discussion, and see the Rush for how this can turn into a practical discussion.
Like hunting, no?
Hmm?
Hunting.
No, he takes it into a different direction. Okay, again, afterwards, if you want to stop me afterwards, I'll say it over. Okay, Amar Rabba. Shenis hakol shochten la'olam shochten b'kol shochten my mishanis. So Rabba says, this was a great discussion. But I just don't. In other words, you've only explained two of the three statements of the Mishnah. Again, we go back to the beginning of today's daf. Right, we talked about the three statements of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Hakol Shochten, Bakol Shochten, and Uvechol Shochten. So you did a fantastic job explaining Hakol Shochten, meaning it's referring to birds, and Laolam Shochten, which now we're going to say the pshat is you can shecht even after the destruction of the temple. And I might have thought, according to Rabbi Kiva, that we can revert back to our Basa Nechira days. No, we can't. We still have to shecht. Good. But then the Mishnah made a third statement, was Bakol Shochten. You didn't explain that. So my mishanis lay. So maybe you'll tell me, well, maybe that means I can shecht with any instrument. It doesn't have to be a knife. It could be a stone. It could be glass. The Rabbi says, no, I will not accept that pshat in the Mishnah, because stylistically, thematically, the Mishnah has to be the same. If the Mishnah is talking about the person shechting, so then all three have to be referring about people. And if the Mishnah is talking about the item being shechted, the animal being shechted, so then all three have to be talking about the animal. But you didn't do that, because if you're telling me is that Bakal Shechting is talking about the knife and the rock, that's not a function of the animal, that's a function of the person. So then you're going animal, person. That's not a good way to learn the Mishnah. So El Amar Rabba, so Rabba says, I'm gonna now go and explain our Mishnah totally differently. Hakol shochten hu lasui kusei v'chada. Sorry, chada lasui kusei v'chada lasuye Yisrael mumer. Okay. So the hakol shochten is going on the person, meaning everybody can shecht. And who's everybody? Like we said earlier, Kusi and Mumar. And the fact of the matter is that, yes, it's true. Yeah.
No, but don't we hold those mitzvahs that the...
No, but he's... Yeah, no, but... No, wait. He's explaining the Mishnah. The Gzera that we don't allow the Kusi to shecht, that was a post-Mishnah Gzera. He's just explaining the Mishnah. And the fact of the matter is, it says Hakol Shochten on Daf Beis, meaning that's the first two words of the Masechta. And it says it again on Daf Tezayin. So he says, that's good, because one is referring to Kusi and the other one's referring to Mumar. Okay. La'olam Shochten, Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla, Bein Barosh Agag, Bein Barosh Asfina. And when it says La'olam Shochten, La'olam Shochten, it means you can shecht during the day, you can shecht during the night. You can shecht on a boat. I sound like Dr. Seuss now. You can shecht on a boat. You can shecht on a rooftop. Now, the Dr. Seuss aside, right? Rashi points out that we'll learn later on that you're not allowed to shecht into a river. You are allowed to shecht on a boat. We'll discuss that later on. Okay, we'll come back to that. Now, bakol shochting, and now that we've said that, so now we can very simply explain the bakol shochting. It means that you could use any instrument you want. Okay, fine. So... It's interesting, right? Rabbi just basically, our whole discussion today, which was a great discussion between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, Basa Nechira versus Basa Taiva, is a great discussion. Rabbi says, yeah, but that has nothing to do with our Mishnah. I mean, it's a discussion, still a valid discussion, but that's not the pshat in our Mishnah. Okay.
So according to the Mishnah, the Kusim were believed at that time.
Yeah, at the time.
They could, yeah. So when was the Zera of the Kusim?
According to what we learned earlier in the Gemara, it was one generation later.
Uh-huh.
They found the kusum to revert back to the old ways of avodah zarah, and they said, forget it, they're done. Chutz mimagu ksir v'hamagera. Avodah shmo pagam v'shardar, pagam v'shardar. Okay. We will now spend the rest of today's daf talking about the knife itself. Okay. So, let's start off with a very simple... guideline. When you shecht, the knife has to be a smooth surface. It has to be a clean surface. That you want a cutting action. You don't want a tearing action, right? We learned that tearing is chanika, right? It totally uproots and upsets the act of shechita, and so therefore you want the knife to be totally smooth. Okay. You cannot have a nick on the knife. Once you have a nick on the knife, the nick on the knife is not going to cut the simanim, but it's going to tear the simanim, and that would be no good. Although, as we're about to learn now, not all nicks are the same. Some nicks are okay and acceptable. So the father of Shmuel, what he would do is he would try to find out where's the line? What nicks are okay and what nicks are not okay? So what he would do is he would take a knife, he would actually put a nick in the knife, and he would send it out to Eretz Yisrael. Right? Gift wrapped it. Send it out to Eretz Yisrael. And with a letter attached. Is this knife okay? Can I chef with this knife? And he would keep doing it until he got a basic idea of what's good and what's not good. Meaning in a lot of areas of halakha, you need what we call shemesh. You just simply need practical experience. Right? As much as we learn, and it's super important, but still, that's just the beginning. In certain halakhas, you just need practice. You need hands-on experience. You need to know. So that's what he kept doing. Shachulei kamegerish aninu. So they sent a letter back to him, and Eretz Yisrael, and they said kamegerish aninu, that in order for the nick to be a disqualifier of the knife, it needs two indentations. Okay. My keys will here serve as an excellent, but it'll serve as a very good illustration of what we're trying to describe over here. Okay, obviously we're not talking about the smooth side of the key, I'm talking about the side that has etches in it. So, kemegerish aninu. In order for the pagam, the nick in the knife, to be disqualified, it needs to have an indentation going in, and an indentation coming up. Okay? So it needs two edges to the nick. If it only has one edge to the nick, that would be okay. Tana Rabbanan. We're going to explore this a little bit more. We're now on the top of the dynamite base. Sakin sheish ba begimot har betidon kemegera. If it's got a lot of nicks in it, right, like basically like my key, right, if it's serrated, so it's tidon kemegera, it's like a saw, it's no good. It's no good. And Rashi points out, even if the nicks are going in one direction, it's still not going to be good. Meaning it's there's too much action on the knife, it's no good. Okay, v'shein ba ela pegima achas. But what if it only has one nick in it? One indentation. So now the rule is going to be like this. Ogeris psula misuchseches kshera. If it's ogeris, these are strange words. These are words that don't come up that often in the Gemara. If it's ogeris, it's going to disqualify. The shechita is no good. If it's misuchseches, that would be okay. Lichatchila, you shouldn't shech with it, but it would be okay. Gemara now asks the obvious question. Hechidami ogeris, hechidami misuchseches. Let's have more clarification of what that means. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, ogeris mishteiruchos misuchseches miruach achas. So the Gemara says that ogeris means, like just like what we described earlier with Avuah d'Shmuel, meaning it goes in, it cuts in, it goes across, it cuts back up again. It's got two angles to it. Okay? So now, any which way you cut, it's going to get snagged. If I go in this direction, if I go in this direction, it's going to get snagged. Okay? That is ogeris. Misuchseches, says the Gemara, shtei ruach achas. Meaning, it only cuts in once, and that's it. So as long as I cut going in one direction, so it should be okay because it won't snag. Basically, what's going to happen is that as you're cutting, the pipe, whichever pipe you're cutting, is going to jump from one edge to the next edge.
Why don't they just say the best knife would be just a
point? The Gemara will say that. Okay, that's an excellent point. The Gemara will say that. But we're talking about, will I have to throw out the entire animal?
Oh.
Right. So that's right. It makes now all the difference in the world. Is the animal in the Vela? So okay. So Amar Rabbi Elazar Ogeres Mishtei Ruchos Mesuchsech Meruchacha Maishna Mishtei Ruchos Demurza Kama Machlus Shemurza Basra Baza. So the Gemara says, I don't understand, because if it has two angles in it, the first angle will weaken it, and the second angle will pull and tear and rip. So the Gemara says, Achas Nami Chorfa Desakina Machlus Shemurza Baza. So the Gemara says, can you make the same argument where if I only have one nick, meaning it only has one angle, so can I make the argument that the sharpness of the knife, the edge of the knife, will weaken it, and then once it gets to that nick, it's going to tear? So the Gemara says, Dekama Resha Desakina. Now, Rashi explains, but I'm gonna divert from Rashi's explanation. I'm going to give basically an explanation that we saw. The Rush says this as well, based on the way we just explained it. It depends which direction you're cutting the knife. You're cutting with the knife. Meaning, if you're going against the nick, so it's going to tear at the pipe. If you're going in conjunction with the nick, so then it's just simply going to jump from one to the next. So kiaza machlasha, kiaza baza, kigosha holach v'lo hevi. So the Gemara says, and we have to be saying that you're only going to cut in one direction. Although later on in the Masechta we're going to learn that really you should cut in, you should be molech umevi, you should go back and forth, but that's not absolutely necessary. It's possible that you can cut in one direction and that would be okay. And in this scenario, that's the way you would have to do it. Amar Rava Gimel Midos Besakin. We're going to basically describe three levels of a knife. Ogeres, lo yishchov yimshacha shchitas apsula. So if it's got two angles, it's got a drop off in both directions, so that's no good at all. That's a posel. That will disqualify your animal. Misuch seches, if it's only got one angle and you're cutting not against the nick, but in the direction of the nick. So lo yishchob alechatkil avim shachas shchita sukshera. So Michael, as you pointed out, it's not the best. And you ask your local Rav, he'll tell you not to shecht with it, but post facto, it's okay. Ola v'yored, what if the knife is not a flat line? What if there's a little dip in the knife? Not a nick, not an angle, just a little bow in the knife. The Gemara says, Shochei b'lechatchila. That's not only fine, but lechatchila, that would totally work. Amalei Rav Huna b'reid Rav Nechemin l'Rav Ashi, Amart la mishmei d'Rav, mitzuchseches psula, v'ham mitzuchseches kshera. So the Gemara says, we did learn in a b'raisa, right? We don't have the word Tanya in our Gemara. Right, in the side of the Gemara, he says that the Shiltos has the word Tanya. We learned in a Braisa that Mesuchseches is Kshera, and meanwhile, from the very top of this Amud, we've been saying that Mesuchseches is no good. Lo kasha kan shaholach vehevi, kan shaholach v'lo hevi. So, okay, the Gemara says, well, it depends. I'm sorry. Mesuchseches, we said it's good. We said Mesuchseches was good, but meanwhile, the Braisa says it is no good. Okay, so the Gemara says, it depends. If I go in both directions, it'll tear. If I go in one direction, that would be fine. Amale Rav Acha b'reid Rav Avi l'Rav Ashiya. Dami l'sa'aseya. So, Dami l'sa'asa. Right. Zikan hashibalim she'enu chalak kach sakin she'en piach chalak ava pegam. Right. Pegam in la. It doesn't have a sharp angle to it. My samalei my yavle mibisra va'achlinan. If that would be fine. In other words, if it doesn't have sharp angles to it, so it's fine. I'd eat it. So amar chista kagon lebedika sakim in. Sorry. Minay lebedika sakim in a Torah. You got to check the knife. And that's a din min haTorah. Shenamar shchatem bazeh ba'achaltem. Shechted with this bazeh, meaning, and there has to be visual verification of the knife, and then you eat it. So pshita came in the chinak of treifa by bedika. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Of course, you have to check the knife, because if you don't check the knife and there's a nick in the knife, it's going to disqualify the shchita. Of course, you have to check the knife. Well, meaning, what are you telling me, that there's a din min haTorah? Logic dictates you have to shaft the knife. So the Gemara says, "Lechacham ka'amrinan." No, you have to go to your chacham. Now, Sfarim, you know what I'm talking about. Ashkenazim, you're not that clear.
Go to you.
Right. Well, I would disagree, but the chacham, right? That's your local Talmud chacham, the Rav of your community, your chacham. So you gotta show it to your chacham. Now that's not right. In other words, that's not a function of you don't know how to check, right? You can learn how to shecht. I'm sorry, you had to check a knife. That's a function of kavod. You gotta show honor to your local chacham. The Gemara makes that point. So what do you mean it's a din min haTorah? That's not a din min haTorah. It's a din of, you have to show kavod to your chacham. Midrabanan v'kras machta ba'amahu. Okay, so the Gemara says that's a din midrabanan. Rabbinic law indicates that you have to show to your chacham at a kavod. We quoted a pasuk? Yeah, the pasuk that we quoted, that's a smachta ba'ama. Right, that's just a hook, so to say, to connect the din to rabbanan to, but that's not, you're right, that's not the source. Okay, tomorrow we will start with how to check for a knife. Okay, you're going to love it. You really will. Okay, various ways of checking for a knife. Which sides of the knife need to be checked? Sides of the knife need to be checked. Okay, a lot of good stuff coming up tomorrow. Please stay tuned.
Should I bring in some
knives? Like Avua Deshmo. Rabbi Chananya Menachash Amar Tzachash Baruch Hu Zachar Tzolot Yechachir Ben Tormitzu Shanem Anecha Vitzamansi Koyak Dotor Yadir.